Hi everyone, this is Johnny Cowsey from the Door Foundation. You're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Keep it locked.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Arthur and Karen of Hoover, Alabama. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, May 2nd. Go to the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information about any of these stories. Lana Bellamy reports for the Times Union that the owners of the now-shuttered Indian Plant nuclear power plant now say they will discharge radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River in September. A representative from the Holtec International Company said they are delaying the radioactive wastewater release until September so that the company can clean boric acid off the steel liner in the facility. Previously, the company planned to discharge the wastewater into the Hudson this month. Rich Baruni, site vice president for Holtec, said, quote, "I was called a bully. I was told we were trying to circumvent the system. There was no intent for that. The only thing we were trying to do was get a head start on cleaning the spent fuel pool," unquote. The nuclear plant is on the east bank of the Hudson River in Westchester County and closed on April 30th, 2021. The company currently plans to release the radioactive wastewater this September and in June and April 2024, in August 2025. The plant has been making similar water releases into the river for many years. Quote, "Just because these discharges have occurred for more than 40 years does not mean that they are the best disposal method," unquote, said a representative for Riverkeeper, a Hudson River preservation advocate, in January. Quote, "The ideal situation is zero radiation entering the Hudson River," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman reports for Spectrum News that New York's Department of Health launched a campaign May 1st to encourage residents to begin the two-dose vaccination series for Mpox, the disease formerly known as monkeypox. Quote, "Last year's Mpox outbreak took place during the spring and summer months in most impacted communities of men who have sex with men and immunocompromised individuals," unquote, Acting State Health Commissioner Dr. James McDonald said. Quote, "This year, while Mpox cases are extremely low in New York, cases continue to be diagnosed here in New York and around the globe, and there is still a risk of resurgence. We are taking proactive measures now to encourage those at risk to get fully vaccinated by getting both doses. Taking this measure of protection is a gesture of self-love and love for the communities in which you live, unquote. The virus can spread through sexual contact, and people in the LGBTQ plus community are considered to be more at risk. The State Health Department is beginning to run digital ads and social media alerts to encourage vaccinations. Read more about this story at Spectrum News. Mid-Hudson News reports that Ulster County Assemblyperson Sarah Hannah Shrestha is criticizing her fellow Democrat, Governor Kathy Hochul, for her bail rollback in the state budget. Shrestha said there is no need to modify the law, saying, quote, many cases, particularly low-level, get dismissed because of an epidemic of wrongful arrests, and poor people, people of color, and those with mental health issues have a higher likelihood of being caught up in a wrongful arrest. People waiting for their turn. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, May 3rd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul signed two laws May 2nd expanding access to abortion in New York. The laws guarantee access to medication abortion and allow pharmacists to prescribe over-the-counter birth control. The signing comes as many other states are not allowing access to abortions. Hochul previously announced efforts New York will stockpile 150,000 doses of the abortion medication pill misoprostol, which judges may ban nationwide. Quote, our state from the beginning has launched this great fight, unquote, Hochul said during a signing ceremony at the Capitol. Quote, we're going to do everything in our power to stop the backslide while expanding reproductive rights in our state, unquote. The New York Catholic Conference disagreed, arguing the new laws would do little to aid women and further their health care in the state, saying, quote, the social pressures and availability of harmful substances combined to make campus a wholly inappropriate place to offer dangerous medication to young women, some as young as 17, unquote. But abortion medication has been deemed much safer than other drugs, such as Viagra, which are not being blocked by judges. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that at a marathon annual town meeting May 1st in Great Barrington, voters decided against weakening short-term rental regulations approved last year and also strengthened zoning rules to help move affordable projects along. The nearly five-hour meeting at Monument Mountain Regional High School, voters also wanted no money to go to a developer with a housing project that doesn't include enough affordable units. Residents also approved the town's $14.6 million budget for fiscal 2024, and Great Barrington's $19.89 million share of the Berkshire Hills Regional School District budget. And residents voted 115-42 to pause installation of 5G cell phone technology for further study on exposure limits to radio frequency emissions. Most experts do not believe 5G cell service hurts anyone, and it is widely available. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. WRGB in Albany reports that Representative Paul Tonko held a listening session April 29th in the town of Milton in Saratoga County. Tonko wanted to hear residents' opinions on the new farm bill that is being negotiated this year. But the story does not quote any residents or their opinions, only Tonko. The 20th Congressional District Representative said, quote, food insecurity, the need to have food on the table, the importance is of nutrition for our senior community and for sound development for our young people. So we need to emphasize this, especially because there were proposed restrictions and rollbacks in the bill recently done on the House floor in Washington. So it just alerts me of the wrongdoing in that bill and how it relates to agriculture and nutrition, unquote. Read more about this story at WRGB's website. And Ben Mitchell reports for News 10 that Governor Kathy Hochul announced on May 2nd $3 million in grants for not-for-profit land trusts across New York, including several locally. The Green Land Trust is getting a professional development grant for $78,000. The Columbia Land Conservancy receives Catalyst grants worth $115,200, and the Rensselaer Plateau Alliance was awarded a capacity grant for $23,100 and transaction grants worth $48,500. Hochul said of the grants, quote, land conservation is essential in New York's fight to mitigate climate change and protect our state's unparalleled natural resources. Supporting the critical work of land trusts across the state will bring us closer to our goal of safeguarding 30% of public land in New York by 2030, ensuring future generations will have access to green space and protected natural habitats, unquote. Read more about this story at the News 10 website. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
If Republicans force this country to default for the first time ever in our nation's history, then our economy will crash. American workers will lose their jobs. Seniors will lose big on their retirement savings.
Senator Patty Murray warned the United States could default on its debt as early as June 1st without an agreement on the debt ceiling. President Joe Biden and Democratic leaders are not budging ahead of next week's scheduled White House meeting between the president and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said any agreement will have to be made with the House.
There is no solution in the Senate. We have divided government. The American people gave the Republicans the House. The Democrats have the presidency. The president and the speaker need to reach an agreement.
Farmers' advocates testified in a Senate subcommittee about the reauthorization of the Farm Bill later this year, focusing on crop insurance and other safety nets. Cody Carson with National Sorghum Producers said the challenges farmers face are getting more severe.
In addition to historic drought impacting our operations, market volatility, inflationary pressures, and higher expenses, coupled with lower projections for crop cash receipts, are only adding to the stress and uncertainty we face in agricultural production today.
The current farm bill expires in September and is typically renewed every 5 years. The Senate Judiciary Committee discussed Supreme Court ethical standards following reports questioning the conduct of Justices Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch, including unreported real estate transactions and donor-subsidized travel. Democrats are pushing for legislation to adopt an enforceable code of conduct. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin invited Chief Justice John Roberts to testify, but he declined.
But I'm more troubled by the suggestion that testifying to this committee would somehow infringe on the separation of powers or threaten judicial independence.
Some Republicans oppose any congressional attempts to impose rules on the Supreme Court, something all nine justices agree upon, including its three liberal members. The Biden administration is deploying active duty troops to the southern border to provide support to U.S. immigration officials as they experience an increase in migrant crossings ahead of the fast-approaching termination of pandemic-era migration restrictions. Defense Department spokesperson Brigadier General Pat Ryder confirmed troops will be at the border for 90 days and will not play a role in law enforcement activities.
These 1,500 military personnel who will be sourced from the active duty component will fill critical capability gaps, such as ground-based detection and monitoring, data entry, and warehouse support until CPB can address these needs through contracted support.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our ATRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, May 2nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 38 degrees in Tannersville to 46 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 50. Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 3rd. Local early morning temperatures range from 36 degrees in Tannersville to 43 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 50 degrees.
Hello and welcome to the better weather.
Pollen levels are medium. It will be cloudy with rain chances around all day today, especially after 10 a.m. We get a high temperature of 53 degrees at 5 p.m. More of the same overnight, temperatures fall to 44. Tomorrow, same chances of rain all day with a high of 57. Overnight, 44 again. Friday, still rainy, especially in the afternoon. A high of 60 degrees. Saturday, finally dry and sunny with a high of 62. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:10 a.m., low at 8:38 a.m., high again at 2:22 p.m., and low again at 8:51 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 52 degrees and the tide strength will be very low. Sunset today will be at 7:41 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:45 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. An open coronal hole is releasing a plasma stream due to arrive late this weekend or early next week. Solar wind speed is currently 462 kilometers per second at a light 4.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 MHz overnight with good conditions below 8 MHz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. In other words, terrible for aurora watchers. The current sunspot number is 134. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And I'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on the Thingularity Radio Show, where the nerds are going to just basically lose their mind as the world devolves around them.
Listen to what the flower people say. Listen, it's getting louder every day.
All right, I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You're listening to the WGXC Morning Show. And right now on the line, we have Tavit Gudelikian. How did I do?
Pretty good. It was all right.
I did much better off the air, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You got the brownie points.
You are from the solar company Sun Common, and you guys are putting on the Climate Action Film Festival Friday at Hudson Hall. So first, tell us what Sun Common is.
Yeah, Sun Common is a kind of Hudson Valley homespun solar company. So we're an independently owned company. We've been installing residential and commercial solar in the Hudson Valley up to the Capital Region for like 12 plus years now. We used to be called Hudson Solar, but then we merged with the Vermont-based company Sun Common.
And full disclosure, you've installed solar panels on the study center at Wave Farm, and which is paying for almost all our electricity, including the, because it produces more than we need here. We can use it, some of it, to offset our tower electricity bill, which is our higher bill. So thank you guys for all that.
Oh my gosh. And full disclosure from our end, still one of the coolest projects we have ever installed. Like, it's a great honor, honestly, to be powering the next generation of transmission artists and researchers through solar energy. So it's the pleasure is all ours.
All right. Well, tell us now, what is the Climate Action Film Festival, and why did you start that?
Yeah, I mean, look, we install solar, so we're doing our small part as Sun Common in the kind of climate struggle, but we know that it's a systems level problem, right? Climate change is not going to be solved overnight by one mom and pop solar company. So we started this festival really under the same premise that we run all of our like basic marketing programs, which is like storytelling works. When people hear or see a good story, they can see themselves in it. And so we started this festival to bring together stories of climate actions from all over the world of every scale, like from people who are just doing beekeeping in Detroit, all the way to a woman who wants to start a dive school in Colombia to start to empathize her local community with the reef system that they all rely upon for their fishing economy. So we think that this festival can kind of do two really important things. One, inspire folks, right? Like, take that first action, get folks off the couch or away from their computer, and really into something, what they can see themselves doing as a climate activist. And two, you know, this is a fundraising thing. All tickets are by donation. And so we love to give all proceeds from these events going back for 4 years to two really amazing climate partners. There's New York Renews right here in New York State, and 350 Vermont, which is Bill McKibben's like heralded climate group. They've got chapters all over the country. So we both raise awareness and inspire folks, you know, in the theaters. And for the last 2 years, it's been unfortunately streaming. So we've reached like a global audience during the pandemic. But then, yeah, raise funds for really great climate action groups.
Yeah. And our listeners may know of New York Renews, because it seems like at least once a week we're reporting on some New York Renews protest at the Capitol trying to get lawmakers to pass legislation. Tell us about some of the specific films that are going to be at the Climate Action Film Festival Friday at Hudson Hall.
Sure. So yeah, I kind of sort of hinted at a couple of them. There's a wonderful story about a beekeeper in Detroit starting a community beekeeping program, which is a really fun, like kind of high energy one. There's Dive Tierra Bamba Dive about the young Colombian woman who lives in Tierra Bamba, which is off the coast of mainland Colombia. And I love that film just for its, I mean, the story is wonderful, but its filmic language is also really, really beautiful. It's a very like sensual film. Like you can feel the sort of humidity and the sweat. We're like welcomed as an audience into like a dance party. That's like a local, like a Friday night hang. So like, there's just the, it's a beautiful, full kind of bodied story of her life in and out of her climate struggle. And then there's one that I really love called Sacrifice or Sacrifice about this French Canadian group of teenagers who link up with XR, Extinction Rebellion. And they go to this like die-in protest. They like glue their hands to like a fast fashion, you know, department store and they're arrested. And so they are kind of taking their first steps into climate activism. And what I love about this film is that it really unfolds as this dialogue between one of those teenagers and her parents. And so we get this really cool vantage point into like generational views on what acceptable or effective protest is. And as my kids are young, I've got like 2 5-year-olds, but like I can see some future where like the kids are coming up and they've got their own idea of what, you know, right is and what protest looks like. So I really appreciated that kind of look. There's also a really great short film about an angler, like a fly fisher, who's also a stand-up comedian and begins to bring climate action into both of those practices, which is really cool. So that's just a few of them. There's 9 films overall, about 90 minutes of programming.
It doesn't seem like fish would make for a great stand-up audience, but maybe.
You got me.
It seems like what's tying the films together is like individuals taking action on their own in the face of a monstrous possibility.
Yeah, yeah. And really, like, you know, as we were returning to theaters for the first time in 4 years since our very first Climate Action Film Festival, some of these stories are about individuals, and then many of them are about how these individuals galvanize a community. We really do believe that like community and communion, like when we meet with each other in person or we gather online under a sort of cause or a banner, that is one of the ways that we can push back against like the doom and gloom cycle of what so much climate reporting is kind of doing to us. Like I notice, even though I'm a part of the solution, you know, installing solar, I get overwhelmed sometimes. So a lot of these stories are really linked under the fact that they're not resting on doom. They're about action. They're about solutions. And yeah, the scale of them are as large or small as these stories can sort of tell. So the scope of each of these actions is really, really different, which is great.
I'm wondering to play off the individual action question in the films, I'm wondering to put on your Sun Common hat, when people come to you for solar panels these days, are you getting lots of people like this who are wanting to stop the global climate change? Or are you getting people that want to save money? Or are you getting people that have political motivations to want to keep their electricity money out of the hands of foreign dictators who are doing the planet harm in all kinds of different ways? Combination of all three, I'm sure. But what do you hear most from people about their reasons for coming to you for solar products?
Yep, all of those and more. And I can kind of dive in. In New York, we have a really amazing mix of like of everything. This is one of the things I've loved about being born and raised in New York, is that I have exposure to every political, you know, spectrum, every like ethnicity, everybody comes with such a rich history to this state. And so, yeah, the reasons that people go solar, especially in the Hudson Valley over the last few years, has been this wild combination of, exactly as you said, there's a lot of foreign oil in our wars, right? There's like a lot of like influence of where we get our energy on a global scale. And so some folks, especially people who have had actual military experience, who like live in the capital region, are coming to us with this mix of like kind of political and practical, right? They're like, also, I will save money. Anyone who has been kind of going through the ups and downs of the Central Hudson, like fiascos of the last couple of years here in the Hudson Valley is probably coming to us to save a lot of money. And then there are folks who are genuinely and generally interested in doing their part to reduce the largest kind of element of their carbon footprint, which is their home energy usage. So it's a mix. And then there's some folks that surprise us with whole new reasons that we've never heard before that kind of fall between that spectrum. We don't install off-grid systems, but there are, of course, a community of folks that are trying to figure out how to go solar off-grid. And more, I'd say, especially because of the really positive kind of promised legislative space that the IRA bill is kind of laying out, a lot of nonprofits, houses of like worship, and people who weren't necessarily able to take advantage, like didn't have the tax appetite to take advantage of the federal incentives to go solar, are now realizing that there's going to be a way in for their organization or for their home or for their business or whatever. So we're starting to field a lot of those questions, like, I couldn't go solar before, can I go solar now? And because SunCommon has an advocacy and activism department, we are always like reading up on the legislation that is becoming, not just the incentives that are happening today. So we're kind of experts in figuring out how to get the best incentives for our customers.
Well, you led me to my next question, which was is going to be about the Albany budget that just got passed. It seems like they're still sorting out what exactly is in it, but it looked like the Build Back Renewables, I'm missing the name exactly, got passed, which will move people off of natural gas. Is that going to solar going to explode from this particular budget passing?
Yeah, I think there's a combination of the federal and the state. So look, I'm so proud to be a New Yorker again, because this state does have some of the best and most progressive climate legislation, and our goals are very ambitious. So what I'd say is, between the combination of the IRA bill and the incentives that it's going to be offering, and the state's kind of stated goals, I think my personal like tea leaves point to a lot of large scale solar and some wind projects also coming. So I think that really, community solar is a critical part of the equation of how we decarbonize our country and how we kind of set up for renewables. And so community solar, if you don't know, is basically people setting up these giant solar farms that can then farm out, like collect a bunch of credits, generate these credits, and then through your utility, you could select to be getting your power from a renewable source. That, I think, is really critical in a state like New York, where, of course, we have a lot of homeowners, but we also have a lot of renters and folks who can't necessarily go solar at home on their own dime. So I think it's really important for the future of the state and for the future of our, you know, planet that we start embracing more large-scale solar. Like, we have done, as SunCommon, a couple of these community solar arrays. There's one in Red Hook that we're super proud of, and that's been like filled out and, you know, totally blocked out by customers since we launched it. But I think the future for New York, the near future anyway, the next decade, looks like large scale solar, which is great for, you know, large scale like farm owners and stuff who have property that they can bring to bear on this. It's another source of income from them. We also learned that like sheep and other short grazing animals love ground mounted solar arrays because they are semi shaded. So if you're growing some crops or stuff that needs semi shade, or you just want to lay a, you know, solar field down and then have it as a grazing ground, it's really compatible with like a lot of our agricultural roots in Hudson Valley and beyond. So there's a lot of great solutions. There's a lot of great incentives coming. And I think the future for New York looks like large scale solar.
Yeah. What do you say? Those large solar farms have had some opposition locally, particularly in Coxsackie and Copaic. I think the Copaic one is probably the highest profile, big opposition. What do you say to the people who live next to where a solar farm is going? What kind of things can you guys do to mitigate their issues?
Yeah, and again, we're not in the large scale solar game, but as just a person, as a citizen of New York, I'm often reminded of whenever I hear the sort of basic like NIMBY-ish pushback, like, I don't want to see it, I don't want to look at it, it's a big field, I'd rather it remain a big field. I'm also like reminded that I live completely entangled by poles and wires, right? Like, we have the visible infrastructure of our aging power grid all around us all the time. And I think we've gotten really used to it. it's become kind of an afterthought. And so in these moments of big necessary societal change, we are going to have folks that have their view change slightly, and they will be looking at, you know, these silicon panels, whatever. I personally think that there are some meaningful and necessary kind of sacrifices that we have to make to preserve the greater whole. And I completely understand, like, I'm born and raised in New York City, so my version of like that visual pollution was just noise pollution. Like, I wish I could turn off all of the trucks and traffic in the world, but I can't. And when I think about the pushback for, I don't want to see this in my backyard, I think about the decades of really like underserved communities that have been really destroyed, honestly, by environmental injustice over the years, having their communities either, you know, positioned next to a power plant, you know, causing asthma, cancers, and all sorts of stuff. And even in the creation of our roads and highway systems, we have rammed highways through and destroyed entire communities in the past. So this change, while it feels like an affront to your view, I think it's making a really, really important, you know, set of principles come to life. And clean energy in the end is going to better all of our communities. It's creating local jobs. It's letting us source our power closer to our homes, which will cause fewer disruptions as kind of climate gets a little bit scarier and weirder over the next decade or two. So there's a lot of advantages. And I would just remind folks that like the infrastructure is already visible all around you, and it really hasn't bothered you unless you paid attention to it. Sorry if that's a little snarky, but.
No. I've been making the same sort of kind of joke on the air, but you can't see through the window behind me, but the Catskill Mountains are right there. And I keep saying there needs to be some windmills up there because there's wind up there. Exactly. And we need to we need to make that sacrifice to and see those windmills so that we can all survive.
Exactly.
Long term.
And in the end, look, this stuff can be deinstalled rather easily. Definitely way easier than a power plant.
And again, we are speaking with Tavit Gudelikian.
I'm Gudelikian.
Getting worse.
it's totally fine.
From SunCommon, the solar company that has installed solar panels at Wave Farm, full disclosure, but is putting on the Climate Action Film Festival this Friday night at Hudson Hall. What time does it start?
Starts at 7. Doors are at 6:30. And there's going to be a free reception to follow with all sorts of refreshments, and a couple of local climate action groups will be represented there, so we can kind of gather and figure out where we go from here. And tickets are still available at climateactionfilmfestival.com.
All right. Anything else listeners need to know?
It's going to be a blast. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I hope to see everyone there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you out Friday night at the Climate Action Film Festival at Hudson Hall. So thank you very much again for joining us.
Thanks so much, Tom.
All right. All clear. Thank you. That went great. It's going to play a couple more times, different times of the day on the station until Friday.
Awesome. And, you know, I love Turn On the Radio.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Turn On the News.
Turn On the News, yeah.
I watched, like, a full episode of it in my drive to Toronto yesterday, and I loved it. It was awesome.
All right. Well, it's going to be much harder for me to do it the next couple of weeks because of the strike, but...
yeah, right.
But I'll get through. I'm Tom Rowan Aker. We're listening to Aphex Twin mixed with the various live web streams at WGXC and at Wave Farm out in the woods. There's the test site for Acoustic Commons open microphone. There's Quintron's traffic sacks. Listening to the passing cars and fossil fuel emitting trucks on Route 23. There's a big truck. We're also tuning in the Zach Poff's Pond Station. Listening to the sounds underwater in the Wave Farm Pond. Quintron's Weather Warlock is synthesizing the changes in precipitation, sunlight, wind, and temperature and turning them into sound. Lots of birds out this morning. It's gray here in Acre with some fog at the top of the mountain. Those clouds are low. Everything is green and verdant. The rain over the weekend, the heavy rain, the persistent rain that lasted into early in the week, dumped several inches of water here, but it has led to an explosion of growth. I think the grass has shot up a couple of inches. We've got one field here that is just covered in dandelions. And, of course, the trees are blooming. It's more the cotton-like stuff in the air yesterday, too. But it is a lot more spring-looking here in Acre with the trees and the grass now. Yeah, there's a little of that Here Goes Radio Telescope in that mix, too. I'm not sure there's enough sunlight right at the moment for the solar radio installation. Hopefully things clear up. on Thursday, May 11th, the band from the Catskill Mountains, Two Dark Birds, performs at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with Sandy Bell and Thin Lear. Two Dark Birds is based in the Catskill Mountains, led by songwriter Steve Koester and drummer Jason Mills. Here is the Catskill Mountain-based band Two Dark Birds from their 2022 album Porous. This is Mercy on My Anxious Soul. I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM. There are so many things to listen to on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. You can even add your own event and have it read on the radio. Go to wgxc.org, click on the community calendar, and then there's an add an event button. You just click on that, fill in the blanks with whatever event you're helping to organize, and soon enough, it'll be read on the radio and seen around the world at wgxc.org in the community calendar. Thursday, May 4th, there is the Spring Movement and Music Storytime going on at the Hudson Area Library, led by local musician Abby Lappin. That's at 4 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. gothic polka meets surf punk as the Dirt Surfers perform with the Dust Bowl Fairies at Keegan's Ales in Kingston Thursday, May 4th at 6 p.m., 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, May 5th, Christopher Tigner, Earth and Sea, and Connor Armbruster perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC should have a live web stream of that event and have it on the air from 8 to 10 p.m. The entire show is from 8 to 11 at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Saturday, May 6th, there are signs of spring in a guided hike at the Eldridge Research Center in Rensselaerville. Garrett Chisholm is hosting the spring hike to discuss phenology, the study of seasonal changes and timing in nature. So learn about the springtime changes at the Eldridge Research Center Saturday, May 6th. The walk is from 10 a.m. to noon. Also Saturday, May 6th, the Star Cinema's Upstate Films in Rhinebeck shows The Crucible. The Oh My Art Center in Ghent has a writer's reading group. Their writers in residence are sharing what they've been working on. Sunday, May 7th, there's a plant sale luncheon and lecture at the Temple Israel of Catskill. That's from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The morning plant sale is from 8:30 a.m. to noon, with annuals, perennials, herbs, succulents, hanging baskets, and more. All proceeds benefit the Temple Israel Cemetery Fund. Just Eat It as at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties on Sunday. That's at 12:30 p.m. It's about food waste and more. Sunday, May 7th, there's a Hunter Synagogue tour starting at the Hunter Synagogue, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's a tour of the Hunter Synagogue led by historian Carol Slutsky-Turnowitz. Sunday, May 7th, there is a Oakdale Forest performance and sound map unveiling. That's at the Oakdale Park from 2 to 3 p.m. in Hudson. Part of the Hudson Youth Center's summer camp. And every Sunday, there's traditional Irish music session at the Shamrock House in Durham. That's from 2 to 5 p.m. out on Route 145. These are all on the community calendar at wgxc.org. And remember, add your event there and you'll hear it on the radio at 90.7 FM.
Sense she still smiles, very sweet.
Charged with insults and flattery, her body moves with madness. Do you have to be so cruel to be callous?
And now you find you fit this identikit completely. You say you have no secrets, then leave discreetly. Clammy and cunning, she's been suitably stunning. But I know there's not a hope in Hades. All the lattice cat caught wolf whistle. So-called gentlemen and ladies, dark fight
like rose in the sun.
Drum talk, moving rhythm, slant slick rhymes, liberated minds, soaring spirits having visions filled with concrete images, earthy associations, street idiom combined to give us the metaphor of what it is to be black here in this time and space. Like our music, our response in melody and rhythm, which is the ritual of our spirit. Like our dance, which is the ritual of the body. Poetry is the ritual of the mind, soul.
Work it out. Gig away. Shindy, USA. Still behind the big sounds twanged from livid guitars, they moan and shout and jerk and twist and duck. Like popcorn, out of sight, eyes fastened to the tough beat. Tighten it up, hully gully a while, funky chicken then shotgun child. Like robots, bodies spastic as from deep within a new first surge. Heads in concentric circles of satellite automation orbit. Shaking tail feathers, they cannot strut peacock proud. Must contort on wailing crowd mad stages. Break on down to the boogaloo, make like a penguin slopping too. They work it out, this thing they cannot name. Not knowing if there is a proper stance, they publicly fidget in their dance. To ease the terror of the unknown. Break down, children, break on down. Do the boogaloo. Make like a penguin, slopping too. Tighten it up, hully gully a while. Funky chicken, then shotgun child.
Matthew Shipp on piano, Khan Jamal on drums, William Parker on bass with The Root from the Equilibrium album. On the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Ending our WGXC morning show together here in Accra. We're still listening outside at the Wave Farm to our weather and traffic. But reminding you to stay tuned. Modern Jet Set is next with music from Gorillaz, Lee Fields, Jessica Perse, and others. At 11 a.m., we beam out to Kopake, where Mayuka Fujina is got the Mirage Station show today. Then at noon, we move to Catskill, where Spike Priggen created the Bedazzled Radio Hour, his Spike's Record Rack on Main Street there. We'll be back at 4 p.m. in Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show with the WGXC Congressional Report. Interview with Christopher Tickner, who's playing at the Avalon Lounge on Friday night, and Pammy Price from the Cornell Cooperative Extension on the Nature's Call segment with the Master Gardeners of the Columbia Green Extension.